future. My eyes are open, 'cause when you called my name.
And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Man, let's keep standing and singing this evening.
Breakfast,
around, shake someone's hand this evening.
Good evening. If we could work our way back to our seats. Let us continue to praise our Lord and Savior by singing, I Am Thine, O Lord, page 358, if you want to follow in your hymnals.
Blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
side, last verse. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Let's turn to page 425, singing all three verses of In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling, but He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other ever known. And let's end by singing the chorus, The Longer I Serve Him, page 518. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controlled, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Good singing. We had another great day in the house of the Lord this morning with one being baptized and many folks here, and the kids ministry is going over. It's hot out there and oppressive, so we got to make sure we get this done within an hour so we get the kids back in. But they got plenty of water and hydration out there, so they're doing well. The kids in the cooking class, they're doing well anyway. But we are very glad you're back here this evening at Assurance Baptist Church. Isaiah here with us. Good to have you here tonight. We were going through the book of Isaiah, and we still are, but this evening I'm taking a little swerve, as God would do it from time to time, just with this being Independence Day weekend, and then also with everything that we've got going on. I thought it was good. God gave me these verses and speaking to some people after service today, and just some things that God had laid on my heart. So we're going to be looking tonight in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. If you'll turn there with me, book of Galatians chapter 5. And actually, when you get to chapter 5, we're going to back up a few verses because we're really going to be in Galatians 4, but it'd be easier just to go to Galatians 5 here because we're going to end there. So if the Bible ends at Galatians 5, you'll know where we're at this evening. All right, let's look here in just a moment at our Bible. But before we do, let me just encourage you that we are celebrating the 4th of July. Amen. We're a church that believes in God and country, and we want to make sure that you all understand we're always praying for our country. We're always praying that God would move in this country. The reason why we want God to move in this country is because we want God to give us an opportunity to see people saved. Amen. We want people to be saved. And we do that, why we preach the Bible and why we serve him. We enjoy having these freedoms to do it, don't we? And so we want to keep that in mind as we look through this tonight. We celebrate Independence Day, but what we actually celebrate historically is just the Declaration. July 4th, 1776 was just a declaration of independence, but America's 13 U.S. colonies weren't actually free at that moment. There was a war, actually a seven-year-long war, and until the Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783, the United States wasn't actually a nation. It was 13 colonies from Great Britain. And during that period of time, lots of things happened, obviously, and we saw lots of things go on in the American Revolution. But why do we celebrate the 4th of July? Well, we celebrate it because the 13 colonies declared, I believe 52 men, wrote a declaration, and come together from these different delegates from different colonies, declared that it had become necessary for the United States to become free of tyrannical Great Britain and their king for lots of different reasons, taxation without representation, other things like that. And so the U.S. colonies said, we want our independence. They declared that, which in that time, that Declaration of Independence was basically a declaration of war. They basically declared war on Great Britain and their king. At the time, I believe Great Britain had 52 naval ships. The U.S. colonies had zero. I believe at that time, the U.S. colonies had about a 5,000 militia, no put-together army. They had to build an army on the fly, while the British had over 50,000 soldiers. And so the United States, what we know as the United States, the colonies, got together with some Native Americans and with ourselves, and then ultimately France would come into the fight and help the United States. It's the only time France has ever done anything for us, but France would come other than give us French fries. I'm excited about that, but they would come alongside, and the United States would obviously be victorious. But I look at that to say, during that time, the United States had people who were born here in the United States, in the colonies. Now, they're British citizens, but some of the reasons why they fought was because someone like George Washington, who was born in Virginia, in the Virginia country, in this United States, though his parents, you know, were from Great Britain, he wasn't able to actually serve in the British military. He could serve it, but he couldn't have a rank. He couldn't be a ranked person. There was kind of a subsect of here are you colony-born people, and then here are we Great Britain people. And so what happened with that is it brought resentment, but then there's the other side of that. When the colonists, went to wage war against Great Britain, there were many of the colonialists that said, there's no way we can beat them, and you're just going to make them more mad. You're going to make it harder on us. So a lot of those folks who were even born here fought for Great Britain to keep the residency here, to keep their colony of the United States. And you think that's backwards thinking, right? You're born somewhere, you would want to fight for your homeland. And so it became evident and necessary that there had to be a declaration of independence, that we need to be declaring ourselves independent from British rule. We obviously know, we've heard of Benedict Arnold. Now, the story of Benedict Arnold is not as clear-cut as you might think. He wasn't just a traitor for no reason. He fought valiantly, actually, for the colonies and then did not get promoted the way he wanted to, and basically a trick, almost a Judas Iscariot type of payment plan for him. And he went back to the British and started to give them war secrets for the Americans after he got upset. And ultimately, he ended up getting kicked out of the British Army, too, and he and his wife moved to England and never to be heard of again. But there was a lot of that, actually. He's just the most famous. People who thought, we're not going to win this, and when it got hard. And I thought about that today, and I thought about the Bible. I thought about we as Christians. And I just want to look at this. You know, we have a sweet land of liberty. And when I speak of a sweet land of liberty, I'm not talking about the United States. I'm talking about the New Jerusalem. We have a sweet place. It's a land of liberty. And if you know your Bible, we don't have to wait to get to the New Jerusalem to have this freedom and this blessing. The Bible says that we're just foreigners. We're pilgrims here in this land called earth, but that we have a heavenly citizenship. We already have an address in the New Jerusalem. We just aren't there just yet. We look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. We'll end in 5:1. That's why I wanted to sect that out just a little bit. But look in your Bible in Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, that means a slave, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, or in the Hebrew, Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, children, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate with many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Praise be to God. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? This is a scripture actually from Isaiah. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here's our text, our major text today. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, we ask today that you would hide me behind the cross, but that you would open the ears and the hearts of every listener tonight. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'd bless, strengthen us through your word. We pray and ask it now in his name. Amen and amen. I want you to understand tonight that we see Abraham had two sons. One son born of a slave, one son born of a free woman. The Judaizers certainly understood this because the legalist Judaizers of Galatia, where Paul is writing, they love Isaac and revere Isaac, and they would certainly push Ishmael down. However, they're living after Ishmael, even though they say they love Isaac. Now, you understand that the Islamic people have picked up Ishmael as their son of promise, while the Jews and Christians understand Isaac is. These verses will clearly show why Isaac is God's choice. But I want you to understand that we oftentimes become like Ishmael, even though we're sons of promise and faith in Isaac. Verses 22 through 23 clearly tell us that it's written that Abraham had these two sons, one by a slave, Hagar, one by a free woman. It doesn't use her name, but we know by his wife, Sarai, which things are an allegory, it goes on to tell us. It tells us that one was born after the flesh and one born of the free woman. And so now we get this allegorical, this figurative text that shows us a story of the Old Testament and now uses it in context to explain who we are in the New Testament. We see that Ishmael is contrived of the flesh. When we as Christians live according to the flesh, rather than the spirit, we are living in the bondage of sin and oppression of Ishmael. We are living in the slavery of Hagar, but Hagar is not our mother. Isaac is contrived with a promise and faith. When you got saved, you were saved by the promise that God said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise. And then when your faith enacted the promise by receiving it, you became a saved, free from sin, born again Christian. And therefore, you no longer have to masquerade around in the flesh, but that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. This morning in Sunday school was amazing because I was holding Lakin in my arms for a moment there, and it was a great illustration. I said, you know, when this baby was in his mother's womb, he was of one nature. He couldn't do all the things he can do now. You don't hear him cry. You can't see him suck his thumb. You can't see him kick his foot. Olivia could feel it, but you can't see it. But then when he was born into flesh, he was already flesh, but when he came out in flesh, he had even a different nature. Yes, he was in the womb, and yes, he was alive, but when he came out, he was able to express himself. He was able to do some different things. When you get saved, see, before you're saved, even when God knows, listen, the sovereignty of God says this, he didn't choose who gets saved, but he knows who will get saved. And so before you were saved, God knew you were going to get saved, but you express yourself differently now that you know you're saved. When you come out of, that's why every once in a while, it's good for the preacher to know that you're alive and you say amen every once in a while. It's good to hear the people worship God because God made you a people to worship. He didn't keep you. See, lost people can sit still when the preacher's preaching and giving you the word of God. But saved people say, hallelujah and amen and preach on. And that's good. Let me testify today. You know, I like it in those old black churches when the pastor was preaching, he might say something like this. Am I right about it? And the people say, amen, preacher, amen. Because we have a different nature. We're not who we used to be. The bondage of sin to keep you quiet. But when Jesus says something, when you read Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, that's a hallelujah, glory to God moment. I'm free. I don't have to follow all these rules, all these laws. I don't have to follow around and do all this Jewish stuff, the Ten Commandments. We've all fallen, come short of the glory of God, but I'm free in Jesus Christ. See ya. Just because you got to wait doesn't mean it's never going to happen. 25 years, Abraham and Sarah had to wait for the child of promise to come. While Hagar is out and Ishmael is out, there's these two covenants, an old covenant and a new covenant. Hagar representing the old covenant, Sarai representing the new covenant. In Mount Sinai, did you ever know this? Mount Sinai represents bondage, actually. You say, Mount Sinai, now that's where Moses gave the law, right? It represents bondage. The law is your schoolmaster. It represents rules and following. Mount Sinai was likened to the spiritual status of Jerusalem in Paul's day, and even now, they're all a bunch of rule followers. 613 rabbinical Jewish laws or things you have to do to be an actual ordinate, or you have to be an actual promised Jew. You have to do 613 things every single day. Boy, I can't keep up with my wife's 10 or 11 honey-do list things to do. If somebody gave me 613, no way I'm ever getting saved. I got to do 613 things every day. There's no way. I can't remember what I did last night, let alone you want me to do 613 in one day, even with a schedule. I mean, I'm sure if you looked it up, the Jewish people probably got some kind of app. Okay, now it's time to do this, now to tune that. How many of you got some kind of app on your phone and you're supposed to do something at this certain time, or you're supposed to check this at this certain time, and you don't make it all the time? I'll be 613, do you know how many that is? That might as well be 2 billion to me. Aren't you glad you're free? Huh. I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm not saying it to be racist. I'm not saying it to be weird. But I always think of the old movie Roots, when they got free and they go up north. You know, when somebody talks to me like, oh, you Christians, you got to do this and do this and do this to get to heaven. I'm like, don't you know we's be free? We's be free up here in the north. We even got shoes up here. You know, say, white people, white preachers can't see that. White preachers can't see that. Black preachers, we can just say crazy stuff, you know. But anyway, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, we used to be free. I don't want to go back to the bondage of sin. I don't want to have no schoolmaster. I like Jesus being my master just fine. But there was two covenants. Moses gave the law on Mount Sinai there in the text in verses 24 and 25. It represents bondage. It represents slavery, spiritual bondage. And just like what Paul was preaching to these Judaizers in Galatia, he's saying, you guys are in spiritual bondage because you're looking at the physical Jerusalem as your place of worship. You're looking at the physical Jerusalem as the place to go to the temple and follow all these rules and follow all these laws, even though there's no actual temple at the time, as will be destroyed shortly. But listen, what he's saying is this. You're worshiping things. You're worshiping places. You're worshiping rules, legalism. You're not worshiping God. Look at verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Notice what it says. This is how you know. He's not talking about Jerusalem right now. He said Jerusalem, which is above. We're talking about the new Jerusalem. We're talking about that place that comes down from heaven as a bride adorned for his groom that God has specifically... See, people get John 14 kind of messed up, and you could be upset with me if you say this, if your doctrine disagrees, but when you preach funerals, you got to be careful because people say, oh, they're living in that mansion Jesus made for them. No, they're not. The heaven of today gets destroyed. Because that's what the Bible says, that heaven and earth shall fade away, it shall pass away. But eventually, God takes that and he creates a new heaven and a new earth. I don't want my mansion to be in the heaven right now. That gets destroyed. My mansion's in New Jerusalem where we spend eternity. That's what he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you. Now watch. It's real important. Verse 26, it teaches us. It says, but Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem is free. It's a free place with a free people. Remember the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 21 that the kings of the earth it says they're free to come in and out of the gates. You can walk around. You can do whatever. It's the eternal place. Speaking of the heavenly Jerusalem here, the heavenly city, the first covenant was earthly while the second covenant is heavenly. Our first covenant is just rules. It's earthly. It's keeping us in a pattern of doing things to point to God. But the second covenant is God. You know, is an amazing thing. Is an amazing word. When you think about the word is in the English language, it means equal to. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there, right? There's liberty because the Lord is a spirit. So it's saying this, that God is equal to liberty. And that liberty is equal to God. That's why when you say God is love, it's not saying that God is like love. No, it's saying God is equal to love. That's all he can be. Because in him, in his holiness, he's love, he's liberty, he's might, he's power, he's honor, he's glory, he's dominion. He is these things. When they say, Pastor Bryson is handsome. That's synonymous. That's just, you can just call me handsome. You don't got to call me, it's the same thing, Brother Ben. Now listen, I better get back to the Bible. I'm up here lying. I repent. The first covenant, born of the flesh, the second of liberty. God blesses the seed of the son far more than the seed of the slave. God blesses the seed of the son far more than he blesses the seed of a slave. God will bless those in Christ far more than those who just follow the rules. Are you more blessed for being saved in Christ? or more blessed for following the moralistic rules of moral humanism in our land, in our day. People say, well, I followed all the rules. So did the young rich ruler. The rich young ruler, he followed all the laws. Then he did everything right. And Jesus says, you can't even come with me because you don't know me. He had no freedom, no liberty. Ishmael, he mocked Isaac in Genesis 21:9. You don't have to turn there. Verse 29 says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. He says, all you Jews are persecuting the Christians, the people who were proselytes. They were Jews, and now they got saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. You're all pricking at them. And it's an amazing thing for Paul to say that, because Paul used to be the chief amongst those people that did that. Paul was the one that was persecuting and wreaking havoc on the church and carrying them away from Damascus and taking them to Jerusalem and imprisoning them. And now, all of a sudden, Paul's saying, listen, I understand because I was them. He says, you're picking and you are being hard on these people, but that's the same thing. You love Isaac, but that's the same thing Ishmael did to Isaac. That would have got the Jews to go, he just said we're like Ishmael. That's what it should happen to Christians when I say that you're like the world. I don't want to be like that. I'm free. I don't want to be entangled with the bondage of that yoke. I want to be like God. I don't want to be like the world. It should cause you a pause like it would have caused them. See, there's adversaries to those who are born in faith and promise. Never be fooled by the fact that there are adversaries. People don't like people who say that we are born of faith and promise. You know why? Because that makes people really upset, because it's too easy. It's too easy. They say, well, all you Christians, they really say this about Baptists, you Baptists think you can just get saved and do whatever you want. Never lose your salvation. It's not what we said. But what we said is, when we do slip up, we're saved by grace, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not something that we could gain. It's not something that we could get, but it's also not something that we give away. We are saved by grace, and we are controlled and held over by the providence of God, the Holy Spirit, preserved in the perseverance of the saints, and there's nothing that can be done because it's born of faith and of promise. When it's born of rules, you're going to fall short of those 613 rules every once in a while. You're going to miss one of those every once in a while. And think about this. In your marriage, in your parenthood, in your friendships, if you just messed up once and you just blew it was over, that wouldn't be much of a relationship, would it? So why would an earthly relationship that deals with perils and trials and all kinds of messed up things, how could that be better than a spiritual relationship between you and Jesus? Verse 30, it says, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. If the Muslims understood that verse, or they would accept that verse, some of them say that they accept the Bible, they don't, they would understand Ishmael and Hagar in 21:10, Genesis 21:10, they're cast out. They had to go because of Ishmael's mocking, because he's not the son of promise. He's a son of flesh. Remember, his birth was contrived because Sarah was upset she couldn't have any children. It was a fleshly, earthly birth. So she said, Hagar, you're my slave girl. Abraham, take Hagar, have a baby so I have a child to wean up. Then Sarah gets mad, so she's like, send her away, right? And so that was born of flesh. That was contrived of human plan. But God says, why were you guys even worried about that? I was going to give you a seed. I had already promised you I was going to make your seed outnumber the sand of the earth. I already told you it was going to outnumber the stars of the sky. Why were you so worried? Even though you had to wait 25 years, I was always going to deliver this son of promise. It's like Heinz 57. Good things come to those who wait. He said, just wait. It's going to be okay. So now he cast out the bond woman and her son because of the mocking, so there won't be any problems. In verse 31, we see, so then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, not saved by good works, nor can we lose our salvation by failure to maintain good works. See that? It says, so then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We have liberty because the Lord is liberty. The Spirit is liberty. The Spirit, God is love, because God is a spirit. He can't be separated from those things. He's not Peter Pan separated from his shadow. God's always connected to love. He's always connected to this is. He's always connected to liberty. That's who he is. It can't be separated. But then we look in our major text, Galatians 5:1. I thought this was interesting. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. The word liberty in the Greek is eleutheria. and it literally is derived or a derivative of the Greek. The Greek word is a derivative translated free woman. Liberty means free woman. Did you ever know that's why the Statue of Liberty is a woman? Because she's Lady Liberty, because she's a free woman. I'm just trying to give you some historical facts today. 613 commandments. They had to keep some minutiae. They weren't even real. They were minutiae of the Torah of Moses. They had made up stuff. Remember in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the scribes had just made up stuff. They had a dirty religion. They had a defamed religion. But what they wanted people to do was they wanted people to return. They were mad at Christians for getting saved and saying, we're free. We don't have to follow that anymore. They wanted them to return to that slave mindset that was typified by Hagar and Ishmael in chapter 4. But I got great news for you today. We have Galatians 5:1, and the Bible says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The word therefore is there for a reason. We just read in context what happened in Galatians chapter 4 at the end. So the Bible says, now that you know that there's a sweet land of liberty, here's how you act in that land of liberty. Number one, we stand in the land of liberty. We stand fast. The word fast connected to the word stand means we stand securely or stationary. You ever told your child, stand there and don't move? When God saved you here on this earth, when people say, why hasn't God taken me? How did I get so old? What's going on? What God said is, stand there and don't move. Occupy till I come, the Bible says. He said, stand there in that earth until it's time. Stand stationary. Stand up. Sometimes you say, I can't do anything. It's so hard out here. Everything in life is so bad. But the last time I checked my Bible, Ephesians 6:13 says, when you've done all you can, stand. When you put on all the armor of God, when you went out to war, you're wrestling against principalities and powers, not against flesh and blood. When you've done everything you can, you get up and you stand. You know, you ever seen those old boys in those boxing matches where their legs get wobbly and they get knocked out and they're trying to get back up and they look like a baby deer? But there's a fighter's mentality in those guys. They have a heart. They're always trying to get back up. Have you ever seen the guys that get back up and they're still wobbly and the referee weighs it off and people say, oh, he got knocked out? Well, I say this, he got up, he stood. He didn't just lay down and say, it's over. That's a cowardice act. But when you have the ability to get up, you just stand and you say, well, he lost the fight. Yeah, but if he ever got back in the ring again, he's braver than you and me. I'll tell you right now, I got knocked out like that. I ain't getting back in there. You must be crazy. First time I lose, I retired. Especially them boys that make $1 million purse. Listen, I don't know how long $1 million will last me because I never just got $1 million. But I bet you this much, it'll last me long enough not to get back in there and get my head knocked off no more. I got enough sense to know that. When you can't do anything else, you say, what can you do? You can stand. What can you stand in? You can stand in this sweet land of liberty called the New Jerusalem because you know if you're saved that you're headed there someday. Just stand back up. It's going to be okay. You might lose some wars here on earth, but eventually you're going to the sweet land of liberty where you can stand where you be free. Sometimes all you can do is stand. Why do we stand? We stand to assess the situation. We get up. Is it a good land over there? See, I like to fish. Brother Anthony, he's going to preach with me on this one. Watch this. I like to go fishing. And I get to a place, to a new spot, and I got to stand and look around to see where it might look a little fishy. Like, oh, there's some fish to be in. So let me walk over here. Can I cast that far, or do I need to walk out in the river to get a little closer? Do I need a friend with a boat to get to where the real good fish are at? Let me stand and assess the situation. And once I've assessed the situation, and I know I start casting and reeling, and there's something on the other end of that hook, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand stationary. I'm going to stay right there because it's a good and plenteous land. Somebody that fishes out here said hallelujah. Listen, we have a rule in my family. If we catching fish, we not moving. I don't care if they're little fish. I don't care if they're medium fish. I don't care if they're big fish. I don't care if they're goldfish. If we're catching fish, we staying right there. I don't mean goldfish like in your tank. I mean like the crackers. We going to stay right there as long as there's fish there. You know what I mean? We ain't going nowhere until we stop catching fish. And you know what we do when we stop catching fish? It's time to find a new spot. Let's keep on walking down the trail. If we got to get into the car and go to a new lake, we're going to do whatever we got to do to get to a good and plenteous land. But listen to me. Jesus already did all the work to get you to a good and plenteous land. And where you're headed, the New Jerusalem, all you got to do is stand because it's already signed, sealed, and delivered. Stevie Wonder said, I'm yours, and that's all you got to do. Because Jesus did it all. Because Jesus paid it all. Isn't the liberty of Christ so good? Isn't it free? It just washes off of me. When I mess up, when I sin, when I make a mistake, I ask the Lord to forgive me. But knowing because of the faith and the promise of the Lord, I know he already forgave me because he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I already know that's going to happen. So I thank the Lord and I say, praise be to God. That's why I love Jesus so much, because there's liberty in Jesus, because he is liberty. Isn't that good that every time you mess up, he don't beat you over the head with it? Isn't that good that every time you make a mistake, Jesus isn't knocking at your door saying, hey, I need to take your salvation today? Isn't it good that Jesus Christ says, you have liberty because I am liberty? And if I have you and you have me, then you are, watch this, then you're liberty too. You're free. Number two, what do we do in this sweet land of liberty? We stay. We stand. We've assessed. But like I said, when we start catching fish, we don't go nowhere. We stay. Christ made us free. Hey, listen, if Christ made you free, that's a good freedom. Now listen to me. We're going to celebrate 4th of July. I'm going to set off fireworks. I'm excited about it. But I want you to know this. The 4th of July is not as free as being free in Jesus. Because this is still the most free land in all the world. I would rather live nowhere else than the United States of America. But there's still some things I'm not allowed to do that I wish I could do. See, I was born for a time that I should have been born in the 1800s early on. I should have been born out in Montana in the Yellowstone, because I'm the kind of person that I would like to have a standoff with somebody that's acting a fool. I would like to go ahead and have my six shooters and take six or seven paces and turn around, and the fastest draw wins. And if I die, I be freed in the New Jerusalem. And if I win, I don't go to jail. I become a hero. Little Joe was just killing people every single week on Bonanza, and everybody's like, everybody's singing a song. Dun, 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 dun. Like, this was a good thing. Chuck Connors is killing everybody. He's called the Rifleman, and everybody just celebrates that. Like, that's a good thing. Nowadays, we call them people thugs and gangsters. We put them in prison. Back in that day, like, Doc Holliday is celebrated. These people were killing everybody. Think about that. Think about how the world has shifted. I be thinking to myself, like, I was born at the wrong time, Lord. Like, I thought this was the right time I was born, but for such a time as this, I should have had six shooters. Amen. I should have been out there riding a horse. But you think about that. You are now free. You are now free in Jesus Christ. They always say this when you get into an airplane. You are now free to move about the cabin. I don't want to move. Listen, the more the plane moves and the more I move, the more nervous I get. Let's just have everything be real still. How about that? And then I don't need you to warn me that we're about to hit some turbulence. Just let it happen. But like, when you warn me and then it doesn't happen, I've been nervous for 30 minutes. And sometimes the turbulence are just a little bit. I'm like, I can handle that. But then sometimes they warn you and the turbulence are for real. Just don't warn me, because I might have fell asleep before that. But now you warn me, I can't fall asleep in this. I'm not free to fall asleep no more. I could have slept through the turbulence, but you warned me 30 minutes ago that we were about to hit them. I don't want to move out the cabin. You're now free to go to the bathroom. I'll hold it. I don't need to go nowhere. I've seen too many movies where somebody got sucked up out the aisles when they were standing up. I'm going to sit right there in my seatbelt. I'm going to have it right around me like this, holding on to my Bible and praying to Jesus. Amen. Now listen, I'm not afraid to fly, but it ain't my favorite thing to do. But I am about to get up and move around. But what does that sound like? I'm about to get up and move around the cabin. No, I'm good. That's what y'all stewardess is here for. Move around. You bring the stuff to me. You know, I don't want to get up. Sound crazy. I don't want that kind of freedom, but freedom in Christ is good, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. I love that freedom. Because guess what you're free to do? You're free to serve him. You're free to preach him. You're free to praise him. You're free to pray to him. Oh, that's a good freedom, isn't it? When you're able to go before the face of your God and there's nothing in between, when the veil is torn and you're allowed to have access into the throne room of God, that's good freedom. The Jews didn't understand that kind of freedom. They tried to get into the presence of God. They died. People are literally dying for touching the ark. People are literally dying for trying to look upon God. People are literally dying. If they saw God, they thought they were going to die. And God says, no, 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 you've been granted access. Come on in here and come boldly before the throne. That's a good freedom, ain't it? You know, think about this. Just think about this historically. In my house, something bad has began to happen, and I've got to nip it in the bud. We, you know, you get these things, and they have these reasons, these rooms, and they're called something on purpose. It's called the master bedroom. And for some reason in my house, the older my kids get, the more they think that the master bedroom means everybody's bedroom. And they'd be walking in, and it used to be when they was little, they're like knocking on the door, Mommy, Daddy, can I come in? You know, the door's open, and say, yeah, come on in. There was a little reverence for the master bed. Now they do a little bit differently. They just come in, sit at the end of the bed, so what's up, Dad? What you doing today? This is the master bedroom. Get back over to the slave quarters, boy. You ain't supposed to be in here. Do you know where you're at? Ain't no freedom for you to come in here to the master bedroom. Like, this is me and my woman. This ain't for you. Like, you don't have liberty. Like, who do you think you are? And then the little one, she's the ringleader. She came in. She didn't ask no permission the other night. She came in, and she just walked in. She's like, Dad, can I do your makeup? First of all, you need to go back and knock. You don't just come in my room just out of, and then the audacity to come in and ask if you can do my makeup. And then she guilted me. She said, well, you are one that wanted to be a girl, Dad. Boy, you about to find yourself outside in the outhouse slave quarters. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what? I don't want my kids to stay in that kind of freedom. No. You're going to have some rules. But, man, I tell you what, I like staying in the freedom of God. I like to stay in that peaceful land, in that peaceful place. That's a good freedom. Amen. See, in that American Revolution, some of those folks wanted to go back. Some of them, even after they won the war, they wanted a monarchy. They said, oh, we want George Washington to be our king. We don't need a president. We want to have a monarchy. And the rest of the people, George Washington was smart enough to say, we don't want to go right back into the same we just came out of. He said, I ain't going to live forever. George Washington said, I'm not going to live forever, so I might be a good king, but you're going to get a bad one eventually. George Washington, I don't know if he was a Bible reader, but all he had to do was look at the Bible and say, didn't you see back there in the children of Israel how they had a good king and a bad king and a good king and a bad king? Now, kings ain't going to work out. We need a government. We need a democracy. And let's set it up this way. So he's the first one to have a vice president, the first one to have a secretary of state, secretary of war, secretary. He started adding these people in this cabinet, putting these things together. And it's so important. But some of those people, did you know this? There was a revolution after the revolution. They tried to rise up because they said, we're broke. Because now we got this new nation. You know what a new nation doesn't have? They don't have any money. All the money they did have, they just spent. The soldiers in the American Revolution didn't get paid for the first 3 years. They got nothing for being out there. So they have no money. And so now we got this new nation, kind of like our nation now. We got no money. Now these fools just ran it into the ground with their billions and trillions of dollars of national debt. These guys, they just literally didn't have no money. They just had their first allies in the French. They just got through this major 7-year war of winning their independence. And now they go, what do we do now? And they say, well, President, we can't really pay you. So I don't know. Maybe we just start trying to make things up and try to figure out how we're going to do this. And eventually, obviously they did. But while that was going on, there was a revolution inside the revolution. People said, we need to go back to Britain. We don't got nothing. You know what it reminds me of? See, nothing's new under the sun. It reminds me of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They got over there and they go, it'd been better off if we stayed in bondage in Egypt. Moses, she brought us over here to die. We ain't got nothing over here in the wilderness. We don't have nothing. But what it all comes down to is when you're the children of faith and promise, God's got something for you on the other side. Listen, it's a sweet land of liberty that we're going to. And you might not have all you want on this side, but when you get to the new Jerusalem in the sweet land of liberty, by faith and by promise, you got everything that you could ever imagine. I can't preach prosperity gospel here on earth, but I can preach prosperity gospel in New Jerusalem because all things, the Bible says, all the riches in Christ Jesus become yours. Everything that Christ got is yours, and Christ got everything. So I can literally say to you that you got everything. You just can't have it yet. Number three, so we got to stand in this sweet land of liberty. We got to stay in this sweet land of liberty, and we got to step in this sweet land of liberty. What do I mean we got to step? We got to step out in faith. Because we know where our resting place is, because we know where we spend eternity, then we step out on faith because you know that one day you'll be stepping on the clouds. Don't go back to what you used to do. Have fun in this freedom. See, when you're understanding where you'll spend eternity, when you understand that you are free, that you have this literal freedom in this sweet land of liberty, then you can walk in this earth free. See, I'm afraid to walk around in the plane, but I'm not afraid to walk around with God. I can talk, I can walk it, I can be out here and be exactly who I am in Jesus Christ, and I don't have to fear anything because I can stand, I can stay, but then I can step out in faith knowing that I'm free to do it. See, that's why America is great, the land of the free and the home of the brave. But you know what I realize about Christians? A lot of Christians realize they're free, but a lot of Christians won't be brave. They won't be bold in preaching Jesus, even though you have the freest place. Brother Carter's preaching in a place that's been closed off to the gospel for many years, and he's in Cuba preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have a group of Americans who are afraid, even though they'll sing this week, the land of the free, the home of the brave. They'll stand up for America, but they won't stand up for Jesus. And Jesus has made it free for us to do that in this place, in this dispensation of time, in this exact America that you and I live in. You are not living in China where you're not allowed to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. You're living in America where you are free to preach his name, to proclaim it from any street corner, from the mountaintops. You are able to go to the government center and stand on the steps and protest in the name of Jesus should you want to do that. You are able to get on live streams. You are able to go into your church. You are able to put a sign in your car. You are able to stand outside in legal limits at Walmart. You're able to do anything you want. You can put it on your TikTok. You can put it on your Facebook. You can say anything you want about the name of Jesus. You are free, but are you brave? Because if you be free, you should be brave. Let me read this verse one more time and I'm finished. Stand fast. Stand stationary. Stay still. Get ready. Don't move because it's a good land. You're catching fish here. Don't move. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stay, because being in Christ, freedom is a good place to be. I like that. Stay there. Don't move. Boy, you ever been to one of them good buffets? You know I had to equate it to food. I'm not talking Golden Corral or Ponderosa. Those are all fine establishments, certain ones. I'm talking about a real buffet. I'm talking about a place that's kind of homegrown, a place that is an all-you-can-eat. Some of the places they have down south in the Bible Belt, they have these buffets, and you go down there, and it's literally, you know, it's $13 a plate, but you can just sit there, and there's no time limits. You know, you just sit there and eat a meal and let that digest, and then it's time for something else. And so don't forget the ice cream and the peach cobbler, and you can just keep sitting there. And I like those kind of places because when it's free and when I'm able, you know what I like to do? I like to stay. This ain't fast food. I ain't trying to go in this buffet and hurry up and eat and leave. No, that's the kind of place where I want to clear my schedule for 2 or 3 hours. All them kids I got say, oh, kids eat free? All my kids have been 12 for 10 years. You know what I mean? We go in there, we sit down, we say, we got 2 or 3 hours to stay in here because to me, it's free. Once I paid $13, once I got my first plate, anything after that's a bonus round. You know what I mean? Like okay, this is free now. So, like, the kids, Daddy, can we get some more? You better. You don't get no participation trophy for just showing up. If you don't eat at least 2 or 3 plates, it don't count. Get up there and get you some more stuff. So I don't care. Well, Daddy, I'm not hungry. Eat the rest of this. Listen, this is the only place on earth you're allowed to waste. That's okay. Just keep that plate there. Wait 20, 30 minutes. Play with your phone. Stand there. Sing a little song. And you'll get hungry again. Go back up here and get you some more stuff. It's free in my mind. Why would I want to hurry up? I want to stay. See, I'm already in the New Jerusalem. Some of y'all got to get the New Jerusalem mindset. You got an earthly mindset. You got an Ishmael mindset. You're still living in bondage, and all the things of the world hurt you and make you mad and make you cry and make you upset. And, oh, I can't believe this is going on. That's because you got an Ishmael mindset, and you need to get you an Isaac mindset of faith and promise and knowing that you've already had the war won because there's victory in Jesus. And when you got that mindset, you'll stay. You say, oh, bad stuff happened, but that's okay because once this plate's eaten, I'm going to go get some more. It's more blessings out there for you. You just got to wait and be ready for them. Oh, there was more blessing for Abraham and Sarah. They just had to wait to get it. And once they got it, they got Isaac, who begat Jacob, who begat Israel, who begat all the 12 tribes of Israel, and all these things. And now they're going to have 12 stones written of their names on them in the New Jerusalem. Listen to me. All I'm saying is sometimes you got to wait to get what you're going to get. But all you need to know is that it's worth the wait. Just stay. And then you got to step. You're standing. You're staying, but staying doesn't mean, standing doesn't mean, see, standing just means you got it. Staying doesn't mean that you stay still, it just means you stay in that area. But then you got to step. See, I stand and I scout out where I want to be as soon as I get out the car. That's a good spot. And then I say, we start catching fish, we're going to stay there. But I might have to walk up and down the bank because my kids are going to get tangled 4 billion times, so I got to move them out. But I got to come over here because fish are a funny little thing. They're a funny little creature. You can be fishing right here and catching hundreds of fish, and your partner's fishing right here, and he ain't catching nothing. And you be looking over there going, ha-ha. But then if you're a good fisherman, what you do, we call it pelaking, you walk up over on their spot, and you be right next to him like this. Like, don't cross my line. Don't cross my line. You go over here like this, fishing all together. Listen to me. All I'm saying is, Christian, we got to step. We got to get together. We got to get to the good land, to the good spots, and we got to fish for Jesus, because I'll make you fishers of men, he said. And so sometimes there's a good and plentiful land right in front of us, and when we're catching fish there, we catching fish here in Trotwood, Brother Chuck. It's a good thing. And we're reeling them in, and they're jumping in the pool and getting baptized. And I look back. I was wrong. We baptized people 7 weeks in a row. And the week before that, we didn't baptize, but the week before that, we did. So we baptized 8 out of the last 9 weeks. And all I'm saying to you is, we're standing, we are staying, and we are sitting here stepping out on faith, going to grow, walking around, asking people to come to church, talking to them at the gas station, wearing the Assurance Baptist Church t-shirt, putting things out on the internet. And God said, there's liberty here. You're free to do all this. You're free to have all this. You just work it out for the glory of Jesus Christ. And today, I just want you to know, you are not Israelites. You are not Jews, but you are the children of promise and faith by Jesus Christ, the children of grace. Wherefore, God has made you free. The Spirit of God is liberty. You have liberty to stand. He declared your independence on the cross of Calvary. And when he declared your independence, as soon as you accepted that you be free, you stood up and you stayed there and you can step out in Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Hallelujah and amen. God bless America and everything else that comes into it. But I want you to know tonight that you're free. You don't have to live in the yoke and the bondage of sin. You don't have to go back to the old place. You ain't got to go back to old Pharaoh. You ain't got to go back over there with Hagar and her girls. All you got to do is continue to live in the faith and promise of Jesus Christ, because there's already a sweet land, sweet Beulah land. It's already there in the New Jerusalem. And all you got to do is remember that on a daily basis and stand fast in the liberty of Jesus Christ. All you got to do is stay there with Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is remember that you can step out in faith in Jesus Christ. And God will make a way and provide for you to remember that you are free to the glory of God. When you think about independence this 4th of July, you think about your country, and that's great. But you think about how free you are in Christ, that you can never go back to that bondage of sin. You can never go back to that old grave. Oh, no, them grave clothes have been left behind. You can never go back to that old cross. You can never go back to punishment and wrath through the Jews and through the Romans and through Caiaphas and the high priest. You can never go back to that. You are free. The Spirit of the Lord lives inside of you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's living with you. It is liberty. You are free. It's not you're going to be free. It's not I want to be free. You are free. Praise be to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for this liberty you have given us. Lord, we don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. But Lord, you gave it to us because of your grace, because of your tender mercy, because you are compassionate toward us, Lord. Father God, I ask you today, help us to remember that we're free. Help us to remember not to get tangled up with the old past life, the old past world. Help us not to get tangled up with the ways of the world, with the Ishmaelites. Help us to not get tangled up with those things, but help us to walk in faith and promise as we are the children of promise in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to remember there is a place. Oh, there's a place where there is no sorrow. There is no sadness. There's no disease. It's a place like the garden originally. We don't got to work for food. There's no sweat in our face. There's no sun. There's no moon. For the Lamb is the light of that place. Oh, there's a new Jerusalem, a city above that our citizenship is in. My driver's license says Ohio, United States of America, but my Bible says New Jerusalem. As the music begins to play tonight, we offer you freedom, liberty, not through the words of my mouth or might, but through the words of the Bible. The Bible clearly says that all have come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. None is righteous, no, not one. We've all been tangled up in the bondage and yoke of sin at some point. And because of that sin, because of that bondage, you are enslaved. Separated from God in slavery, and your destination, that land is not a free land, it's a land called hell. And it's real, just as real as the New Jerusalem. And actually, it's cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone eventually. And that's where eternity is spent. It's a stinky place. It's a place of torture, a place of darkness. The devil's not in control there. There's no one who can give you a drink. There's no one who can give you a moment of rest. No, it's a place of utter darkness and torment. And it's a deserved place. God will. But glory be to God. But that is not what God wills for you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Today, you can have that freedom of knowing I'm saved. I'm free in Jesus. If you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Bryson, how do I have this freedom? I'll make it as clear as I can. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet means at the very same time, you still got some problems. Every once in a while you get tangled up and caught up in sin and bondage. Christ already died for your sins. You say, well, how do I get this? You understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He already paid for it. It's a gift, and he's offering it to you. You have to accept it. The gift is wrapped up. You say, well, it's not physical. I can't take it in my hands. You take it spiritually by repenting and believing. You say, I don't want to be who I used to be. I want to be like Jesus. I believe he died on the cross, paid for my sins, rose again the third day. I believe that. We call that the gospel. If you do that, the Bible says, call upon his name, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God did raise him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Plain and simple. Say, Lord, save me. I repent of my sins. I want to live for you. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ truly died to pay for my personal sins. Help me, Lord, to stop serving sin and self. Stop being a slave to it. And help me to understand the freeness and liberty in Jesus Christ. Now, if you prayed something like that tonight and you really meant it, the Bible says you're saved. Whether you look at me in a moment, whether you tell us online, that's between you and the Lord. But I do know this. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you truly believe that tonight, there's a good place for you to stand. There's a good place for you to stay and get into a church. There's a good place for you to step out, even here tonight, to an altar and say, Lord, I believe that today, and I'm ready to make a commitment to you. If you're like that tonight, no singing tonight, the music is going on, you just come to the altar. If you need to pray tonight, you want to thank God for his liberty. You want to thank God for this country. You want to thank God for your freedom. Any of those things tonight, a lot of you are dressed patriotically. Why don't you be patriotic and pray for this country at the altar? We only really do it 3 or 4 times a year. Why don't you come tonight? Come on, you don't got to wait. And let's do business with the Lord. Father, have your way and will. Thank you. All God's people say, amen. Let's receive our evening offering tonight. If we could have our gentlemen come tonight to receive that, you give back to the Lord as he's been good and richly blessed you. And as always, we're going to pray that God would bless it and that we would steward it wisely all over the world. Father God, we just ask tonight that you would bless the gift and the giver as we return our tithe and we give an offering above. Lord, we pray that you would bless it, that we would use it wisely, Lord, as the Spirit wills, that it would go into places where people would be saved, where people would be baptized and get on fire for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray and ask all these things tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, I want to give you just a couple of announcements. Ladies, there's a meeting here Tuesday, or actually not here, it's next week, next Tuesday, the 11th, is it? Yes, that would be the 11th, at 6:30. Sister Christy Brister will be speaking at that, so we encourage you to come out. And we had a wonderful men's prayer breakfast yesterday. Pastor Randy Bowles did our message, and it was wonderful. We're so excited about that. But also, we want to continue to encourage you to come to these meetings, ladies and men's and all those different things. So make a path to get there. We also want to encourage you to get your children signed up for Splash Camp, those entering 4th, 5th, and 6th grades. We're going to be going through our list from Vacation Bible School so we can make some calls and encourage some of those kids to come as well. But if you got grandkids, cousins, friends that want to go, it's a pretty cheap camp, relatively cheap, $220. If they use the code $ABC50, it makes it $170. The church will pay $50 for every camper to go. So make sure that you give them an opportunity. Kids get saved at camp. It's a good time, and we're excited about that. Last thing I wanted to encourage, if you are interested, Brother Brandon mentioned it this morning, but if you're interested in getting your CDL passenger endorsement, we need a couple more bus drivers. So Brother Jeremy's the only one licensed to drive the bus at the moment, and we really want to be able to have a bus ministry, but he's the children's pastor, and it doesn't make any sense for him to be driving around and trying to bring kids in and then have to come back and hurry up and try to get set up for that. We're not going to put that pressure or add on him. So if anybody's interested in that, or you have this secret passenger license that you didn't tell us about, we'd love for you to sign up. We don't drive it very often, but we want to be able to do more with it now that it's through inspections and everything and working. So please, please, please get with me about that. Last thing, I guess I said two things, but last thing is there's no grow in the month of July, so we take July off. It's so hot. There's not a lot for us to canvas. But listen, don't stop being evangelistic. Just because we're not getting together as a church on Thursdays, you keep preaching the gospel to people. You keep talking about it. Be a contagious Christian, as we talked about on Wednesday. And we'll be excited. Wednesday, there's no noon service. Everybody's together for our 5 years of service, 5 years of worship, prayer, and praise service. After almost 5 years of ministry here at Assurance Baptist Church, be 5 years in September. We want to come together, kind of remember some of the good things that have happened over the last 5 years, have just some praise and worship to God. We'll preach charged up and just excited about what God's doing. And we're going to do that every month. It doesn't line up, but this is the fifth one. And then here's another good thing about July. You ready for this? July at Assurance Baptist Church is what? Christmas in July. Ma'am, I got it. It's Christmas in July. So we're going to sing some Christmas songs too on Wednesday because we can't just sing them one time a year. Those have doctrine in them. No, they have doctrine in them, brother. It's about the birth of Christ, the virgin birth. And I said it before, if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you ain't saved. So we got to sing about it more than once a year. Come on now, Christmas in July. I'm not going to do no decorating this year. We're just going to sing the songs and just have a Christmassy spirit. If anybody wants to come in and bring the pastor gifts, we're okay with that too. I'm just saying, that's as Christmassy as we're going to get. God bless you. I love you all. I'll see you Wednesday.